Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I know I've been going very slowly through the book of Colossians, and I struggled a little bit with how much time do you spend on this. But I found out this week that Gnostics are alive and well. They have at least one web page and leaders all over the world. And I know it's a problem in Allegheny County, although not under that name. So we're gonna take some time. We're going to look at these verses in detail this morning. We're going to start with Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Let's pray. Father, it's been said there are no new heresies. They're just new combinations of old heresies. And Father, as we look at what was going on in Colossae, what Paul is addressing was being taught to deceive the saints. Father, help us to understand what your word says about some very significant issues. And Lord, help us to understand how we ought to learn from you, how we ought to grow in you, and what biblical guidance is really all about. Lord, may your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Long time ago, when we were meeting on Sundays in the Seventh-day Adventist building on Trapping Brook, I had a Sunday school class with 14 adults in it. And I made a passing reference to the fact that contacting the dead is forbidden. And I got startled looks. And I found out that in that class of 14, there were three people who'd been to Lilydale to contact the dead relative and didn't know it was wrong. And two of them had made the appointments to go in a church office building in Wellsville. And I sort of made a commitment then to bring this subject up at least once a year from then on out. We're just preaching through Colossians, but that's sort of where we're going to end up as we talk about the text. Now let's look at what it says. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. The word disqualify comes, it's made up of two Greek words. One is the word for an umpire, and the other one means to decide against. Now, in verse 16, we were told, don't let anyone judge you in terms of whether you keep the Sabbath or you keep the food laws or the Jewish festivals or a Sabbath day. Here, the idea is let no one say to you, you're not going anywhere spiritually because you're not doing what I'm doing. You're disqualified in terms of moving on in your Christian faith. Those who are into Gnosticism, gnosis is the underlying word, it's the word for knowledge, claimed to have knowledge derived from the spirit world that made them far superior to any other Christian. And that's what they were doing. They were saying to Christians, oh, look it, I know what you have is good and what Paul taught you is fine, but there's a lot more, and you can go to the spirit world and you can talk to these heavenly messengers and they will tell you things that you will never learn listening to what's being taught at church. They delighted in a false humility. And I want you to think through what they were saying. They would ask, who do you think you are that you can create directly with God, the creator of the universe. Only a very proud person would actually think that. Those of us who are truly humble realize we cannot approach God directly. We must go through lesser intermediaries who can approach God for us. It's really what the Gnostics today are still saying. Now, they have this viewpoint of God that is pretty weird and convoluted, and I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time explaining it, but they have a supreme being who created other, quote, gods, who created other, quote, gods, who created other, quote, gods, and the God of the Bible is somewhere two or three or four or five down on the chain. And then they would say, but we can't go to directly to them. I mean, thinking you could go directly to God would be incredibly proud. What the scripture is saying and what Paul is teaching is we go straight to God through Jesus. It's very clear. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. And by the way, that deals with all their multiple gods too. Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the first thing that was drastically wrong was their whole idea of intermediaries and the idea that you couldn't approach God. The New Testament says God came to us. Jesus is God in flesh. He lived among us, was crucified, buried, and rose again. And we go to the Father through him, and we don't need any other intermediaries. I could spend a lot of time on that. I'm not going to. The worship of angels. Angel is probably the best translation. The Greek word is angelos. But the word means messenger. Now, it's usually used of God's messengers, like the angel Gabriel was sent to Zechariah and the Virgin Mary. It sometimes refers to fallen angels, as in Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you other than the one we preached to you, let them be under God's curse. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says something that people should be aware of. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So, angels can have contact with human beings, but fallen angels, even Satan, pretend to be good angels when they do. Angelos is also used of human messengers. It's in Luke 7:24, after John's messengers left. The word is angelos. Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. So what were the Gnostics doing? The Gnostics based much, pretty much all, of what they believed on things that were said to them by heavenly messengers who claimed either to be angels of God or the spirits of godly men and women who had died. Now, some years ago, a lot of people got all excited about the Da Vinci Code. Some of us read it. Some of us felt like we had to know what they were saying to know how to refute it. The Da Vinci Code essentially pushed the Gnostic heresy. So it's not totally dead. It never really died. And if you read the Gnostic Gospels, there's a Gospel of Peter. There's a Gospel of Thomas. And there's one supposedly from Mary Magdalene. There's a Gospel of the infancy of Jesus. And these writings are not Gospels like our New Testament Gospels, where someone who was there or someone who carefully investigated by talking to people who were there wrote down what Jesus said and did. This is somebody who tried to contact the spirit world, and sometimes there was a bright light, sometimes there was a shadowy image. Usually they didn't actually see anything clearly, but a voice would start talking and they would write down what this voice said. And they would call this another gospel. And if you've read any of those, and I've read some of them, they're pretty weird. I guess my favorite line, and it's been translated several different ways, is the one where Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, because you've been a good woman, you'll be a man in heaven. That doesn't really seem to line up with the Word of God at all. There are a lot of other really strange things in the Gnostic Gospels. And the whole idea of finding truth by doing something that God absolutely forbids is something that you really need to think about. This is Deuteronomy. I've used the New Living Translation. I don't use it much, but it gives a more modern translation for some of the words. And do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or functions as mediums or psychics. Most of your translations are going to say spiritists, but that's what a psychic is. Or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And the next verse says that the people in Canaan did this, and that's one of the main reasons God told the Jewish people to exterminate them. Go back, look it up. That's what it says. This is Isaiah 8, New Living Translation also. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people look to God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. Now that's paraphrased a little bit, but it says the basic idea. Why in the world would someone try to contact the spirit world to find out what they need to know rather than talking to their God? Anyone who does that is clearly, deliberately disobeying God. It's stated very clearly in the Word of God. I am going to say this. Someone I knew and spent some time working with at one time ran into at a gas station, and she said, I went to a psychic and asked about something, and they charged me, I don't know what it was, best money I ever spent. And I just looked at him and I said, I think you should pray or hope that that's all it costs you. And I wasn't in any way trying to wish evil on them. I just knew that they'd done something that would have devastating consequences. And the lady's husband, who'd just gotten a major promotion, within 6 months lost his job. They had a child commit suicide. And stuff just kept happening. And I'm telling you that anyone who goes into that psychic realm and asks Satan for help is going to pay. And they're going to pay a whole lot more than they pay a psychic or a medium to give them advice. Because the devil wants to hook people and give them things, but his end game is to steal and to kill and to destroy, and that's what he will do. First Timothy says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. When someone tries to contact the spirit world, they are in flat disobedience to God, and God doesn't answer that kind of prayer by sending a good angel. They're sinning against God. What they're going to get is an angel that has fallen, a demon, an evil spirit, who will impersonate whoever they want to talk to. First John, dear friend, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The rest of the context says if they're wrong about Jesus, they're just plain wrong. I'm not endorsing or condemning Sherlock Holmes movies and so forth. Some of them do not get into the spirit realm at all, and some do. But I was really into Sherlock Holmes in high school, so I wanted to find out something about the author. And I started reading about A. Conan Doyle. And when he said, I've been to dozens of seances and I've talked to hundreds of spirits and they all say Jesus is not who the Bible says he is, I decided I need to check my reading list. There's an underlying theme in the original Sherlock Holmes things that's definitely not godly. And someone else pointed out to me that I didn't know he was a dope addict, and he probably was. You can't go to the devil's realm and get good advice. It's just not going to happen. Now, in the phrase, the worship of angels, that word is translated religion every time it occurs someplace else in the New Testament. It means primarily outward religious observance. Practically, the Gnostics ended up worshiping the messengers who were the source of what they believed. So if they believed that they were talking to the departed spirit of the Apostle Peter, they were worshiping that spirit. If they believed they were talking to an angel, they were worshiping that angel. But it was essentially a religion of spirit messengers from the spirit world that formed the basis for what they believed. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Use the New American Standard there. It's a little clear that everything they taught was based on these visions they had, where someone, something from the spirit realm spoke to them. And as I said, usually there was a form or just a bright light, but there would be a voice, and they would write down what they heard, and they would claim that was direct revelation from the spirit realm. Now, the person receiving the vision would consider himself on a higher spiritual plane than those who had not received a vision and would regard what had been personally delivered to him as having far greater authority than the teachings of Jesus and the apostles recorded in the Word of God. There was a false humility in that, well, we're not going to the supreme being directly. We're not able to do that. we're contacting one of his messengers, and we honor them because of what they have given us. But there was also in this, and I am someone who received a special vision from a messenger from God, and therefore I have knowledge that you don't have, and therefore I'm on a higher plane than you are, and unless you get these kinds of visions and revelations, you're second class. The fascinating thing, and I've read the book that Houghton College and Alfred University use to teach the religion of Gnosticism and what it was. And the fascinating thing about the visions was that they contradicted each other all over the place. But even though the visions were self-contradictory, and even though the, quote, Gnostic Gospels are self-contradictory, they were still elevated above the actual eyewitness accounts of those who actually knew Jesus. This is from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? If you want to get a connection with the Old and the New Testament, Jeremiah and Ezekiel in particular dealt on a regular basis with people who said they were God's prophets. They said they had visions that came from God. They said they knew exactly what God was saying, and they told the people that, and it was always 100% false. Always 100% false. And they persecuted those who delivered what God was actually saying. And what we need to do is, anytime anybody says, well, God spoke to me, and they claim they heard from God or the Holy Spirit or had a vision, we need to go back to the Word of God, and we need to check it out. The final thing in this section is they have lost connection with the head, through whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Paul says, with all this preoccupation and fascination with visions and angelic messengers and talking to dead apostles and all of that, they've lost connection with Jesus. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. The parallel passage in Ephesians says this, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We know who God is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit enlightens us through the Word of God. And yes, the Holy Spirit does lead us. But we learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit by checking everything that comes into our minds that we think is from the spirit realm with the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit always agrees with the Word of God. He wrote it. He's not going to say anything different. And if you get a thought or an idea that you think, well, that's not me, that's something that God is telling me, the first thing you do is you go to the Word of God, and if it doesn't agree, it's not God. And that's the first thing you need to do to start discerning how the Holy Spirit is leading and directing you. some things to remember. The New Testament teaches us to go directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ, not through anyone or anything else. Beware of any teaching that says you have to go through saints, a religious organization, anything. We go direct to the Father through Jesus Christ. Attempting to contact the spirit world or people who have died is clearly forbidden in the Word of God. The knowledge the Gnostics claimed was received by blatantly disobeying the Word of God. Now, God can speak through visions and dreams as he did to Daniel the prophet. But the content of any vision or dream must be evaluated by God's Word. You always have to come back to the Word of God. God gave us a book. He did it on purpose. Jesus is the head of the church, both in the local and the universal sense. He, through his word and through the Holy Spirit, provides us with all the knowledge we need. Going to other sources is sinful and dangerous and leads to heresy. Let's pray. Father, as I said earlier, there don't seem to be any new heresies, only new packaging and combinations of old ones. And Father, I know that in this county, there are lots of people who see nothing wrong with attempting to contact the spirits of the dead or spirits of any kind. Father, your word clearly forbids it. Lord, help us to be a people who stay firmly connected to Jesus and through him go to the Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.